Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's Thursday night, January 26, 2023. Therefore, it must be time for your post-impact wrestling show. I'm Atrell Pearl. I'm here all the time with y'all. I got a Q&A with Jimmy Van coming up on Fightful Select. We're taping that tomorrow, so you'll see that released soon. But if you're a Fightful Select subscriber, get your questions in there now. There's a thread over there. But that's for later. We'll talk about Select down the line. I got to introduce my number one, my ride or die, the one I want to see every time at NXT or on Impact every Thursday night. It's Cresta Starr. How you doing, Cresta?
To quote Joel Pearl, I am Rudy Tootie, fresh and shooty. How are you doing today?
Oh, you know, just getting through it.
It's all we can do. Roll on or roll out. And I can't roll out, so...
We got a lot to talk about. For those who are asking about Royal Rumble stuff, I can tell you right now, Sean Ross Sapp is on the scene in San Antonio. He will be feeding the scoops, as he always does. And on top of that, the Royal Rumble post show this year will be Will Washington and Professor Nick. Professor Nick, who handles our TikTok. He's great. Go check him out. Go check out Fightful on TikTok. They'll be doing the Royal Rumble post show. Sean and Denise will be at the press conference at San Antonio after the Rumble. They're going to try and pop in a little later on, so go hang out with them. And of course, if you are over at Fightful Overbooked, someone who subscribes there, you should. YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. You can come and catch a whole cast of characters as we watch along the Royal Rumble. Hopefully you'll come and join us too. But for now, we're here to talk about Impact. That's what we'll do. If you have questions about, you know, who do you think is going to show up at the Rumble? Who would you like from Impact to show up at the Royal Rumble? Well, we will answer those questions for y'all, especially so if you donate a super chat. It's that little dollar sign at the bottom of your chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, and it helps support us here at Fightful, and it helps Sean Ross Sapp say, hey, I like these two. This Joel and Cresta thing, this works. Let's keep that going. Or if you want to make them even happier, you can go ahead and donate a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Cresta, make them happy. Tell them how.
You head over to humperchats.com. You put in your comment. You put in your donation amount. We'll read your comment or question on air. We get to keep a little bit more of the money. Sean Ross Sapp is happy. We're happy. Jimmy Van is happy. The toaster in the kitchen is happy. Everybody's happy. Humperchats.com. Make us happy. Make yourself happy. Happy, happy. I had a stroke. I'm sorry.
Do you remember where you got your toaster? Or how long ago you got it?
Well, this is a new toaster. It has like the four horsepower. It has the four slots for four pieces of toast. But every time I think of toaster, I think of either My Little Toaster or there was a movie called Nemo's Something Adventure into Nightmare Land or whatever it is. It was talking toasters in both.
Yeah, I don't remember where.
That's how my mind works. I string together random things.
That's all right. By the way, for anyone in the chat is saying, you know, I can't super chat, I just love being here. We love having you here too. Hello, chat. It's good to see you. It's good to have you. We're keeping an eye out. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And again, super chats are welcome, but they are not you know, they're not the be all end all. Just having you on the chat, hanging out with us. That's good enough too. So
we love it when you guys are here. Just pull up, hug. It's hug time to talk about Impact.
That's right. Well, let's talk about Impact. We're going to start with BTI, but first, just overall, Cresta, how'd you feel tonight about the show? It was a different pace than what we've seen over the last few weeks, wasn't it?
Yes. I feel like this show was really kind of jam-packed. I have so much notes, number one. And number two, 5 out of 5 show, because I was about to complain 2 weeks in a row, no Joe Hendry. And then what happened? The wrestling gods blessed us. Not only with Joe Hendry, but that music video. Superb. It belongs in the Louvre. Whatever.
If you're French, it's the Louvre. But yes, absolutely. We're going to talk about it. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about that Joe Hendry video. Whew. Definitely got a lot of people talking. Dick Snicker kicks us off with the super chat saying, got to go to bed, but I'll be watching the replay. Hey, sleep tight. Hopefully you'll enjoy us in the morning. Hey, by the way, if you're listening in audio form afterwards and you want to leave us a 5-star review, that'd be great. And hopefully for the audiophile in you, you're noticing that whenever I do a show here on Fightful, I try my best to make it a little sweeter sounding, make it a little better sounding. So if you notice that, let me know, because little things like that are what I went to school for and what I want to do with my life. So here we are. Let's talk about BTI, shall we, Cresta?
Yes.
All right. We start with George Iceman, as we always do. Iceman's intel. You know, you ever notice that Iceman has all the intel after they've already taped stuff?
Maybe. What's that? Oh.
I mean, probably, but back with the green screen and the weird wall. One day it's going to get better, I promise.
I just think he just has the scoops, and maybe we should get him on the show and ask him where he gets his scoops from.
I'm going to ask him when I see him. I swear to God.
Do it.
I've got to get an interview with Iceman just to figure it out, I swear. Anyway, he's talking about he's previewing the Golden Six Shooter match, and then he transitions into the Knockouts tag title match, says, rumor is Santino found a tag partner for Giselle Shaw, who's a former Knockouts champion, a former Knockouts tag team champion, and a former WWE women's champion. Well, a lot of people fit that mold, but only one got it tonight, and we're going to talk about it. Spoiler alert, she's also the thumbnail for the show. So there's the big reveal right there. But we opened up BTI with a match that actually was really fun.
Yeah.
Zicky Dice and Carly Bravo, who, by the way, have a podcast, if you haven't figured that out yet, even though commentary told us a few times, called The Bad Taste Show. It's actually really funny. I have listened to it before, but go ahead and check that out. They've got great chemistry in and out of the ring. Eventually, Dice does get the win. He disrespects the disrespect scissor kick, which is the finish that Carly Bravo has, and then he hits the high roller for the win. Let's talk about the rest of the match. Crystal, what do you think? Again, fun match. Talk to me.
I was pleasantly surprised with how athletic Zicky Dice looked in the ring. I kind of relegated to like, maybe, yeah, I know he could bust it out if he needs to. But tonight, he really looked superb. I was low-key somehow expecting, you know, Johnny Swinger to get in there and be like, let me get the pin for this. Like, you're not even in the match. Even with him ineffectively cheating, I thought Zicky Dice looked amazing tonight. Charlie Bravo has springs in his feet. They had mentioned it in the beginning of commentary saying that he's a very fast-paced wrestler. And once he gets going, I think they said that twice tonight about another young man. But he was really impressive. I do hope that this leads to more interactions with Charlie Bravo. They said on commentary, is he related to Johnny Bravo? And I was like, oh my God, please.
Carly Bravo. Johnny Bravo's best friend.
Maybe it's his long, long, long lost uncle or something. I don't know. But I enjoyed the match thoroughly. And I love things like this about Impact, where you're like, people who you're like, oh yeah, they're a joke. And then they pull out a match like this. And it's like, okay, maybe Zicky Dice in the X Division. Maybe. He got to get out the swing of dungeon first.
Zicky's like a physically bigger dude. So for him to have like an imposing kind of stance, it's something you don't see out of him very often. Like, this was probably one of Zicky Dice's best matches in Impact, because he hasn't had a serious type of match in a while. And for him and Carly to be able to like tear it up. By the way, crowd was hot for this too. They were super into it because these two guys are local to Atlanta where they were finishing up the tapings. This was the last of that taping. Mm-hmm. The crowd really ate it up. They enjoyed it. Great chemistry, like I mentioned. There's some good stuff. So Zicky Dice, he does a pop-up power bomb. And then he turns it into an Ushigoroshi. And I'm just like, when does he do this?
How are you capable of this? When did you add this?
That was absolutely wild. And then Carly does a fireman's carry into a stunner, does a 2.9, does the I can't believe it facial. You learn to stop doing that after a while when you work TV. But that was a little hokey. And then the finish, we talked about it. The high roller from Zicky Dice gets the win. A big win for Zicky Dice. Unfortunately, it does not go to Swingman's Road to 50.
Maybe Zicky Dice gets 50 first and says, hey, I would like to gift it to my mentor, the swing man, against Joshua Alexander. And then the specter of PCO strikes the ring and I don't know where I'm going with this.
No, I'm into this. Let's get this. Yes.
Okay. The Spectre of PCO strikes the ring, and then Johnny Swinger gets the pin on Josh Alexander. We got a new world champion. Johnny Swinger. My brain said, you can't even lie. You can't even lie for this. You can't even lie. I'd see it. I'd watch it. I'd be sports entertained.
Yeah. Well, again, good match. Go out of your way to watch it. It was on BTI tonight. These two, shocking. Gotta say, in the best way possible. We knew Carly Bravo could have a good match. I knew Zicky Dice could have a good match, but you just haven't seen Zicky booked that way in a long time. So this was a pleasant surprise for me.
Agreed.
Let's move on. The Impact show begins with the X Division Championship on the line. 74-year-old Action Mike Jackson takes on Trey Miguel. They said if Mike Jackson became X Division champion, he would become the oldest X Division champion by 10,233 days.
Come on, numbers. That's all I could think when Tom Hannifin said that. I was like, sir.
Trey Miguel comes out faking a walker and his sore hip. Funny shtick. I loved it. It was so silly.
Rude.
The match itself got kicked into a pretty good gear. I didn't expect this to be like a super high-flying X Division match. In fact, they even made fun of the fact that it's, you know, the X Division's not about limits or about weight limits. It's about no limits. And then, of course, they mentioned that the X Division is also about no age limits. So here we are.
I also thought Mike Jackson worked kind of stiff, too. I'm like, wait, why? Come on now. I mean, To me. I thought he worked a little stiff, and I thought it was hilarious.
Maybe Trey was like, listen, old man, lay it in. And Mike was like, yes, sir, let's do it. Whatever. There was clearly some chemistry there. They were having a good time out there. Mike Jackson lowers his straps and goes in hot, which I loved. At one point, the crowd is chanting USA, and I get it. It's because Mike Jackson's wearing like a USA-style singlet. Mm-hmm. But like both Trey and Action Mike Jackson are American. So
it doesn't matter.
So strange. Action Mike Jackson goes, works over Trey Miguel's arm, and then he goes for that old school, or as they call it, the oldest school. He gets about 3/4 of the way around the ring before Trey pulls him down, hits the lightning spiral, gets the win. But what really matters is the post-match. As Trey goes to tag Mike Jackson, find a spray can and tag him up. Nope. He meets up with Crazy Steve. Crazy Steve tags himself with Trey's logo along with the rest of his body. And as Trey jumps out and tries to go up the stage, Black Taurus is up there waiting for him. So Trey hightails it through the crowd. What do you think of this development? Crazy Steve and Black Taurus going after Trey Miguel.
You know what you've done, Trey. And I'm not one for playing hot potato, but I do think it is high time you come up off that championship. I've been behind Black Taurus. I want Black Taurus to succeed in everything that they do. I did find it funny. Peak heel work is the crowd is going crazy for Mike Jackson going around the ring doing the oldest school. Right when he gets to the fourth one, Trey's like, stop it. All right, unless you had your fun. To me, I love stupid stuff like that. But to me, that's peak heel. But I do hope Taurus takes the championship off him. I'm going to still stand behind Taurus. I don't care how many times he get beat. When he wins, I'm going to be like, I told you so.
100%. Trey Miguel is on a very good tear right now. Mm-hmm. There's something there that's just a lot of fun to watch. And I want to see Crazy Steve and Trey Miguel. And I have a feeling we're going to see it really soon.
Probably.
But that in mind, I'm I'm excited. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun match, and Action Mike Jackson had a good couple of nights in Atlanta, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's move along. Backstage with GM Miller and Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander basically says it doesn't matter who's going to win the six shooter because he's still the longest reigning world champion for a reason. By the way, all six men in the six shooter challenge are former Impact champions. So these are mostly people Josh has already defeated anyway. And then in walks Steve Maclin. And this is something that Cresta, you and I have harped on for weeks. And I'm so glad we went there because Maclin says he is not in the match because he's not a former champion, but he's beaten everyone in the match. Maclin says he wants the title, tells Josh to keep one eye open over his shoulder because Scott D'Amore is not around to protect him. What'd you think of this segment? Personally, I really enjoyed it. We're getting closer and closer to Maclin and Josh Alexander.
I liked it too, because Maclin has been voicing his concerns to D'Amore for weeks. And D'Amore is like, yeah, whatever. Kind of like, not really, but kind of, you're giving him people. And then every time he turns around, people who Maclin has beaten end up in a championship situation. Not to say Bully Ray is right, but Bully Ray came in, caused a stink, and got his title shot. Yes, he won the Call Your Shot, but he caused a stink the whole entire way, even caused a stink tonight. So if that's the way you got to do it, I've seen Moose do it. I've seen Callahan do it. I've seen a bunch of people just say, no, I want a title shot, and they get it. So Macklin's right. And if Maclin, he's right. He's right. You may not like the tactics. And if he wants to beat up people, he's absolutely well within his right. He's right.
Let him beat up Josh Alexander.
I mean, I like Josh Alexander as a champion. I do think that if anyone is going to pin him, I think it should be Maclin.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I really like Josh Alexander. I think it would be a great match, but I would be happy either way. But if someone is going to do it, I think Maclin for a fresh face, someone who's never had it, I'd be pleased. I'd be pleased.
Someone in the chat was asking, has Steve Maclin beat Eddie Edwards? He beat him by DQ in 2022. So if you count that, there was a six-way elimination match Eddie Edwards won. But other than that, yeah, it's been close. I mean, listen, if you count it, he won by DQ. So there you go. Maclin won that match. Let's move along. Good Hands take on the team of Kushida and Kevin Knight. Yes, you got to do the handshake. Good brother handshake. I love this. We'll just pick it up towards the end of the match. Kushida, first of all, Kushida and Knight win it, but the real story of the match was everyone but Kushida, because both Hotch, Skyler, and Kevin Knight on the other side of the ring absolutely tore it up. Hotch hitting a roll through German suplex into Skyler's bridging pin for 2.9. That was dope. Love that stuff. Mm-hmm. Kevin Knight, by the way, has the hops. Lance Storm pointed it out on Twitter. I think everybody did. Not only hitting standing drop kicks on both men, on Hotch and Skyler, but then doing a standing vertical drop kick on Hotch while he's on Kushida's shoulders. Wild stuff. There was some really fun action back and forth. After that big standing vertical drop kick, Kushida hits in the hoverboard lock, and that's it. They win it. What do you think of the match, Good Hands and Kushida and Knight?
I said this earlier, Charlie Bravo and Kevin Knight, super springy. I was super impressed. And I think, like you said, it was really about the three men, because Kushida's just like the sprinkles on top. It's like, I don't know. I don't have many notes for this match because this was me the whole time. It was so much action to keep up with, and I really enjoyed that. They also mentioned on commentary that Kushida and Knight just came back from the same tournament that Ace and Bay was at, if I'm not mistaken, or am I bugging?
Yes, no, you're right. They were in the Super Junior Tag Tournament. They're gonna have a match next week. They're gonna do Kevin Knight and Kushida versus Ace of Bays. So very much looking forward to that. They did mention that on commentary. Mm.
Yeah, I think this match was really good. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see if Kevin Knight stays in Impact. Much like Charlie Bravo, I want to see them. Can you imagine the flippy dudes? I can hear someone mad now.
You know what? So as far as I understand it, Kevin Knight might be a project in the LA dojo. Mm-hmm. So, or a product, I should say. That's why I skip over my words sometimes. Anyway, if he's a product of the LA dojo, he's a New Japan star because he's teaming with Kushida. That being said, there's a good amount of work going on between Impact and New Japan. I think this is... next week won't be the first time that Ace of Bays, Kushida, and Knight hook up.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to that. I think I really like that they're starting to push Kushida and Knight as a tag team instead of just bringing Kushida, doing the same old X Division stuff with him, or just using him as fodder. This is an opportunity for Kushida and Knight as a tag team to kind of move up the ranks and Impact, potentially have a match. And I mentioned New Japan. There's also a tag team holding the open weight tag championships.
True. That are
in Impact.
And come on, Motor City.
Motor City against Kushida and Kevin Knight. There's a lot of storytelling there in the background and the foreground that you can get into. So I would like to see that. Listen, I want to see it on Impact, because then I can talk about it with you on the show. That being said, it would make more sense for them to do it on Strong, assuming Strong is going to continue in the way that it's been working so far. So I look forward to it, but I also love this team of Kushida and Kevin Knight.
Okay. Work. I like that. I like that.
We're backstage. Giselle Shaw's with Santino Marella and Jay Vidal. They do a behind the door tease. They're trying to figure out who the tag team partner is. Santino's tech founder. Jay Vidal is excited. It just absolutely excited. Says, "Oh my God, I'm your biggest fan. I watched all your matches." And he just fanboys super hard until Shaw grabs him and walks away. She is completely disinterested. And we find out later on who it is. But first, we got to do Mickey James, Jordan Grace. This is interesting to me. So Mickey walks up to Jordan Grace and thanks her for the match they had at Hard to Kill, saying it was one of her best ever. And then for helping out last week on Impact when Mickey was in a bit of a bind with Bully King, who he is. Jordan says, "I didn't come out to protect you, Mickey. I came out to protect my investment. And that's the Knockouts World Championship, because I get a rematch, especially after you tapped out during that Hard to Kill match." They keep going to this. So clearly this was either something that was planned in the match to plant the seed for later, or this was unexpected and now they are making good. Either way, this is the right way to do it, to keep bringing it up, keep reminding Mickey, "Hey, you tapped out and you got lucky." So this was really good. And then Mickey James says, "Well, when I beat Masha Slamovich, I'll come and give you your rematch." And then Jordan says, "If you beat Masha Slamovich." What do you think of this segment? There was a lot of just underpinning going on here.
I don't understand why Mickey James has like this pseudo resentment for Jordan Grace helping her. Like, you don't see Rich Swann getting mad at Josh Alexander for helping him if he's getting jumped. You were literally getting jumped. Like, if we're all like in the confines of this story, if we're all good guys here and you're getting jumped by Bully Ray, why wouldn't I help you? Like, even before she took the title off for Grace, she was like, "I'm not a pity charity case." Nobody's saying that, Mickey. Like, nobody is saying that you're bad. You're the greatest, literally, definitively now at the top of the mountain. So I don't get where that's coming from. Also, too, Grace saying, "I'm protecting my investment." I was like, okay, we're both spicy. Again, I'm thinking, aren't we all good guys? Heck, Bully Ray, he's a bully. Literally, it's in his name. So why are we mad at each other now?
Hey, man. Pursuit of a title means nobody's a babyface. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. But of course, you got to have some sort of dissension. You have to have some sort of conflict beyond the title sometimes in pro wrestling to make it make sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it. Yeah, no one's a babyface, so you go for the title. I'm going to do what I need to do because I want the title. Because I want to be the champion at the top of the card. Makes sense, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I mean, I like it, but I don't like it.
I get it. So let's move on. Let's talk about the Knockouts tag title match. Death Dolls. It's the team of Taya and Jessica because she's sick. They take on the team of Giselle Shaw and it's Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE. Tara, who, by the way, had a very successful Impact run of her own. We already talked about it at the top of the show with the George Iceman skit. This was such a special moment for Tara. I mean, she's excited. She's nervous. She's like kind of like rubbing her stomach as if she has butterflies, like just trying to show that she has butterflies. But the crowd is so into it. They're so excited for this. And then the whole match is based around Giselle Shaw refusing to tag in Tara. And I love this shit. She's just,
I did too.
The disrespect is perfect. And Giselle Shaw is taking everything from everyone. She looks good. She can go. She takes the entire match. Jay Vidal eventually gets involved, takes down Taya by the legs. And then Rosemary just spears him out of his boots. And Giselle hits the spider web on Taya in front of Tara and says, "This is for you," which just popped me. I thought that was great. And then eventually Tara just gets upset. She confronts Giselle, gets in the ring, tells her to respect her. And then Giselle says, "Get your retired ass out of my ring." And then they show death dolls. Both of Taya and Jessica are just suddenly eating from a box.
Where did they get that? Maybe Crazy Steve, you know, like, since underneath the ring is a black hole, you can find anything you need underneath the ring. He just apparated some popcorn for them.
I was waiting for Trey for so long. I needed a snack. I left an extra box for you just in case. It was funny. It was good. And then Tara gets pissed off, just hits the widow's peak on Giselle Shaw. Huge pop from the audience. Tara didn't have to do much, if anything. Hit the hits, play the hits, gets the widow's peak on Giselle, looks absolutely crazy, does the facials, walks out of the ring, stands at the top of the ramp while Taya and Jessica hit their Tsukishi driver into the kick, whatever they do, and then Giselle Shaw gets pinned. The Tsukishi driver.
Stop it.
Anyway, Tara's applauding the death dolls from the ramp. It's a feel-good moment. It's fun. Giselle Shaw looks silly again. Maybe it's time that we start turning Giselle Shaw into a more serious character, but we'll see what that brings. What do you think of the match? What do you think of Tara making her return to Impact Wrestling?
I think Giselle played her part perfectly this whole match. I think commentary also did a really good job of putting over Giselle is queen of the spotlight. She's the quintessential diva. So to have the crowd chanting for Tara, saying we want Tara, driving her nuts. At one point, Giselle is literally getting ragdolled in this ring and she's looking like, wow, I got beat up. Tara's like, tag me. And she's like, but that means I have to share. It was, to me, it is a great building block, but I'm going to say something that maybe not a hot take. I think Giselle Shaw is destined for a Knockouts title run, and I think she should stop meddling around in the tag team division. That's just me. I like her. I think where she's going is on the rise. This is funny, but I agree with you that maybe it's time we start turning her into something serious, because I would like to see her in a serious situation against, like, even if she does go against someone like a Masha Slamovich, not like, damn, Masha really gonna kill you. I would like it to be like, is Giselle Shaw about to pin her? You know what I mean? Like, so this was fun. This was fun for what it was. I do like the popcorn touch. Giselle Shaw for president.
So let's not forget, when I did an interview with Giselle Shaw, she was very quick to point out to me that she was the first Impact Knockout to last the longest against Masha Slamovich, uh-huh, and to get a pinfall, like a two count on Masha, and to kick out of a pinfall attempt for Masha. So there's a bit of a story there that you could revisit once Giselle racks up a few wins, makes herself a credible opponent, assuming again that Masha Slamovich becomes Impact Knockouts champion. It feels like it's what everyone wants right now. But the point here is Giselle, I don't necessarily see her taking it from Masha today.
Yeah.
But if in a few months their stories kind of move back and forth, mm-hmm, there could be some credibility there. And it would be a very cool story to tell. But first they have to get on the Giselle Shaw train and really push her in a meaningful way.
Yeah, in a perfect world, in my mind, if I was booking this somehow, some way, I would have her be Deonna Purrazzo's protege for somehow force that. And I think under her tutelage, I think Giselle Shaw could be an absolute problem. Learning from literally the woman of a thousand holes. Like, I call her the female Dean Malenko, because like Deonna Purrazzo will stretch you, girl. So I think something like that, if that were to happen, I could absolutely see it. Like you said, not right now, but something down the line where it's like, oh, wow, Giselle Shaw. Wow. Wow. You know?
And if you want to say wow every time you open Fightful Select, all you got to do is subscribe. It's $5. It's all the news, all the hits, all the greatest content you can find. It's the least expensive wrestling news site. Select. option, whatever you want to call it. Exclusive news is what we have over at FightfulSelect.com. You can get some news on the WWE Women's Division and a little bit more on why Ronda Rousey dropped her title a little earlier than planned. Tons of news and notes from Dynamite this past week in Lexington, where Sean Ross Sapp went and observed the show and had some fun. Tons of Rumble scoops as Sean is in San Antonio, along with a plethora of other friends as well. And I mentioned at the top of the show, my Q&A with Jimmy Van. We're taping that tomorrow. If you want to get your questions, go to FightfulSelect.com, find the thread, ask your question. No scoop stuff. He's not a scoopster. But if you got business questions for Jimmy Van or wrestling related stuff, you get more. Do we get more Joel Pearl? Absolutely. And if you want more Joel Pearl, you can also go to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. That one's free. But if you go to FightfulSelect.com, $5, you get all that. You get so much more. Sean does a Q&A every week. There's Sour Graps. There's Coexisting with Rob and Maggie After Dark, where they interview different people, different content creators in the wrestling space. Go ahead. $5. Easy peasy. Get on it. Shall we continue?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right, where are we? Taylor Wilde is talking to spirits. Thank you for guiding me on this dark feminine journey, she says. The tarot, give me my message. Queen of Swords, I don't let my emotions cloud my mind. The action to be taken, the High Priestess, independent, unbiased, clear boundaries, and direct communication. What is? Why am I doing this? Why aren't you doing this?
Why did you write this down? That's what I'm looking at you like, Cody. You're like, why did you write this down? This is not part of the design.
The High Priestess, independent, unbiased, clear boundaries with direct communication. What is the outcome? Ten of Swords. Intuition, pain, betrayal, loss. Will I be seeing more of Killer Kelly on my journey? Yes, we will. Thank you, spirits.
Snaps.
I hope everyone at home is currently snapping and watching. If you're like on the bus listening to this after the fact and you're just like, yeah, man, deep. I hope everyone on the bus is watching you and just being like, what are they listening to?
We're listening to a spoken word by Joseph Perlis.
So Taylor Wilde and Killer Kelly look like they're going to be teaming up, which you and I talked about last week because we read a little bit forward about the, we didn't read the spoilers, but Impact did promote the fact that those two were going to tag team in the Florida tapings. How do you feel? Killer Kelly, Taylor Wilde, they're going to team up. Is this a way to get there? How do you feel?
I do like it. There is chemistry. Do you remember Cardcaptor Sakura? I had asked you this before we started.
Not really.
It was an anime about a girl who did tarot cards and she would try to put them all back in the book. For this segment, I specifically got my Cardcaptor book because I felt like we were about to do tarot. it's empty. It's been many a year. I don't have any cards. The demons are running wild and Taylor Wilde has all my cards. So Taylor Wilde, please return my cards. Thank you very much. No, I loved it. I honestly, it reminded me of that MA, literally, if the main character was a wrestler and I lived for it. It was so, I mean this with the utmost respect, it was so bad it was good, like the Super Mario movie. I thought it was really cheesy and I loved it. I loved it. I popped. I don't care. I loved it.
It's a different look for Taylor Wilde. We've been talking about it since, you know, she debuted it, but it works because it is different and it's fun and it's wrestling and these two together work. These two together, I want to see the Killer Kelly response because it feels like she's going to be like extra creepy with a side of I'm a little creeped out, but we'll see where it goes.
It's a nice yin and yang for as funny or as comical as you think it may be. Taylor Wilde is really strong in the ring. So even if you're like, yuck, 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 it's nothing funny in the ring. She's gonna strike you.
Yeah, and that's the best part of this tag team is
potential
for hits.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to it. Dave LaGreca is with Santino. Dave LaGreca, of course, is the host of Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM. Check them out. They do some good work. I put them over last week and I'll do it again this week. Santino puts over the interview that Dave LaGreca did with Tommy Dreamer last week on the show that I personally did not put over, but either way, so Santino liked it. So I guess that's what that means. And then Bully Ray walks in and he tells Dave, step back, stop talking, just bully being bully. And he says, I got a problem with not being included in a six shooter match. I had a title match. Why can't I have, you know, I'm a former champion. Why can't I get in this match? And Santino's like, well, you had a title match and you lost.
He said that I died. I mean, because he's not wrong. You literally just lost.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, shouldn't I get first crack because of that? And Santino's like, no. He also says, Bully also says, there was all that interference and like people trying to screw me. So basically Bully's gimmick is like paranoid. Everybody hates me now, because he also says, Santino, you know, you got a problem with me. Do you have, you know, or do we have heat? Do we have heat? And then Bully puts over Santino in like this weird gaslighting way. He's like, I put you over all the time. The Milan Miracle is one of my favorite moments of all time. And at that point, I'm like, come on, really? Come on.
I didn't know what he was referencing, and I felt like a frog because I wasn't watching wrestling at this time. And all I could think to myself is, didn't Santino Marella also have a sock at one point? Can't he just shove that in Bully's mouth right now? Like, because he's lying.
Back, WWE Raw was in Italy. They're in Milan. And that was the night they debuted Santino Marella. He was sitting in the crowd. And the Intercontinental Champion at the time, oh my God, someone else is going to have to tell me who it was. Basically, and maybe was it Bobby Lashley? Whoever it was at the time picked someone out of the crowd. Oh, maybe it was Chris Masters, because they were doing the Master Lecture. Someone's going to tell me. Anyway, the Intercontinental Champion at the time picks a random person out of the crowd, and it's Santino Marella with the accent and all. It was Umaga. Okay, so long story short, the Milan Miracle is Santino Marella wins the Intercontinental Championship on his first night in the company. He's not even in the company officially. He's just a guy they picked out of the crowd, and he won the match, and he won the Intercontinental Championship. And then they had to explain, like, who is this guy and does he get a contract, so on and so forth. And that's the beginning of the Milan Miracle.
Thank you, Joel. And also, you guys, if you didn't know that, now you know. Now you know. I feel so much more educated. Thank you, Joel. That's kind of funny.
On YouTube and watch it. There are certain things that were really funny about it. And you know what? It actually was a really fun way to debut a character.
True.
Yeah.
Can't do it now. Everybody knows everything about everybody. These damn dirt sheets.
Oh, they knew it at the time too. Good old Santino Marella from Woodbridge, Ontario. Just up the street from me. I think I'm going to see him in a few days. Anyway, so Bully's like, let me remind you what happened to the last guy who ran things around here. Mm-hmm. Basically threatening Santino. And then Santino says, Bully walks away, and Santino's like, oh, Bully's really intense. How do you handle him, Dave LaGreca? And LaGreca says, I don't. Tommy Dreamer does. After I let out a giant sigh, because I was then reminded that Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer is still on the table, I said, I don't believe that. I do not believe in any time that Tommy Dreamer is handling Bully Ray. Ignore what I just said. What do you think of the actual segment and not my ridiculous musings?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Everyone has that one goal, that thing they want to prove, not to other people, but to themselves. Then right when you think you could actually do it, cancer. And that goal is still within reach. Oh no, I'm about to run my first ever marathon with my two best friends. 3 years after having cancer.
At least we look good in these shorts.
Woo! Let's get it, guys. You, Keep making plans.
Visit OhioHealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Poor Dave LaGreca. All you did was try to show up and put over your show, and then you getting told to shut up by your co-host. It's the last time I do a favor for you.
How would you feel if, like, you and I were hanging out, and all of a sudden I was like, "Hey, Cresta, shut up. Go again." You would quit next week. You would quit right on scene. You'd be like, "Bye," and I would.
I'm like, "What the hell did I do?"
It would just. This is what it would look like. You'd be like, "Huh." And it was
I'm laughing because it's true. I'm memeing when I say, "What did I do?" Like, Cresta, shut the hell up.
Anyway.
You got me, gal.
But yeah, bully just being a real piece of shit.
He's being a bully. Like poor David, all he did was like, "Yo, I'm trying to put over a show. I'm trying to put over a friendship." And you pull up, I'm like, "Hey, bully, shut the hell up." And he really sat in the back. This poor guy, when he shows up to work at Busted Open, we're going to have some words. I thought it was entertaining, but also Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer, I had to laugh through the pain.
Again, I hope that it's not a one-on-one match. I hope that it's at least a tag match, maybe a six-person match. Have the good hands, Hotch and Skyler, team up with Bully Ray, and then Dreamer gets somebody.
Special guest, Ref Dave LaGreca?
Yeah, you could do that. I'm not against doing that. If I'm Dave LaGreca, I'd be like, in storyline, I'd be pretty pissed that Bully just treated me this way. But then it shows a little bit of, you know, because, you know, you... There's a little bias there because
this Tommy is wrestling. Come on now, this is biased in wrestling.
Who would I see in the chat? People are saying like it's maybe making a retirement match. Honestly, Bully can still go.
Yeah,
he's not going to do a 60-minute Ironman match anytime soon. But like he's still an entertaining performer and an entertaining wrestler. I don't necessarily need to see Tommy Dreamer do this. I think a tag match of some sorts is going to be the way to go.
I mean, for what it's worth, as much crap and as grief I was giving Bully Ray, Josh Alexander, that match for what it was really, really good. Bully, he was selling. I was buying what he was selling, and it was good. I think I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I feel like there's a better use of these men's talents than having them face each other. I think they're maybe force them to tag team up so they can teach Skyler and Hotch how to be proper scumbags. And do it like that. I don't see what the long term is. And then a Tommy Dreamer retirement match. I feel like put a little bit more respect on Tommy Dreamer. Like, come on, I have Bully Ray retire. I don't know. If that's what he wants, you know, I'm not trying to disparage the man, neither one. But I'm saying like I don't know. Then they got beef with somebody else a little younger. I don't know. I just feel like there's something better to do with them.
Something better to do would, by the way, be to leave a thumbs up on this video. And subscribe to us here at Fightful.com. Go ahead. Or YouTube.com/Fightful. Whatever. Just subscribe to us here. Hang out with us. And at FightfulOverbook.com. I'm pushing them hard because I want more of you to see the talented people at Fightful Overbooked. So go ahead. YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Let's go backstage with Gia Miller, Tasha Steelz, and Savannah Evans. So Tasha's like, hey, first of all, Mickey never defeated Tasha Steelz one-on-one. And then they're all like, okay, yeah, that's true. And then Gia Miller asks about dissension between the tag team of Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. And Tasha just looks and it's like, this ain't working. Uh-huh. And Gia's like, what, this team? And then Tasha walks off being like, all of it. And Savannah goes the opposite direction. First of all, Cresta Starr, is this the end of Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans?
It might be time. I want to put over both their makeup. Their makeup looks stunned tonight. Gia Miller always looks good, but tonight, Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans, their makeup was stunned. I have to say that to get that off my chest.
I'm all about it. It's good.
I don't know. I don't know. Because, I mean, Gia Miller did point out, well, y'all have been losing a lot. So what's the play here? I think I can't think of any really other knockouts teams besides Death Dolls and I'm not trying to be shady. I'm really not trying to be shady, but it's like, no, why would you break them up? This would be your second longest standard, but I also, something's got to give. Taylor Wild Killer Kelly would be cool. Wild Killer, Killer, I don't know. Taylor Kill, I don't know. But like,
Wild Killer. Like,
what?
Wild Killer. Killer Wild.
I like that. Wild Killers. Yeah. They're crazy. Taylor, but I'm saying, what? Taylor Kelly? But I mean, like, what other tag teams are there to break these two up? I mean,
so I'm not going to say it. Go ahead. I'm not going to say it because I know who's coming in, and it's been publicized. So I'm not going to spoil it for the chat. But there is a team coming in that is really perfect for the Knockouts tag team division.
Okay.
And I'm very excited to talk about them when they officially debut on TV. We're not going to spoil it. We're not going to spoil it in the chat either, but it's out there. So if you want it, you can find it. That being said, that's as far as I'll go with that conversation right now.
Fair enough. I'll take it.
Tasha Steelz tweeted out just before we went on the air that, what did she say again? Something about, I don't know. That's a wrap. And she made a NXT reference talking about next.
I have the quote. It says, the end, deuces, to the capital N, lowercase e, capital XT, capital C chapter.
Oh.
Cryptic.
Is Tasha Steelz going to WWE?
NXT.
We'll see. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing her there. So I would miss talking about her on this post show, but if that's where she ends up next time, I'm not against it. Tasha Steelz is a hell of a talent. She deserved that.
I want to believe she's trolling, but I do agree that she's a hell of a talent. Anywhere she goes, I think she'll be extremely successful as long as they utilize her to her fullest potential. But I think she's trolling. I think she's trolling.
Savannah Evans gets Giselle Shaw next week, one-on-one. So we'll see where that goes. We've talked about it before. Savannah Evans on a singles tear. It's time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see. This is a really interesting segment. It was a very short one, but it definitely opens some doors. Dobby the Brain Heenan with a super chat saying Tasha acting like she's leaving a month after signing a multi-year deal is hilarious. People in the tweets are oblivious to it. It's exactly that. Thank you.
Every day I'm trolling.
Already re-signed with Impact. It's already been put out there. I love that people are all about it. She ain't going nowhere. But one day.
There's nothing wrong with a little harmless Loch Ness Monster rumors. And that reminds me of a Loch Ness Monster rumor. There's a Loch Ness in the lake. Sure.
Just don't get no Loch Ness Monster, no Tree Fitty.
Yeah. Also, don't go look for him. There's not a pineapple under the sea, no matter what your friends tell you.
Major players take on Ace of Base, and that wasn't even the best part of the match. First of all, the Bullet Club entrance got weird tonight. They were like edited in this weird, like movie style letterbox effect. It didn't look good. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe someone screwed up in post-production, but like it just didn't look great. But that was just the Bullet Club entrance. Sure. So Ace of Base, Major Players, it's a good veteran versus newbie style match. That's the story that Major Players were trying to tell. This is just a really fun match. Cardona walloping Chris Bay with the reboot foot, and then Myers hitting that top rope elbow. It's 2.9. Eventually, they do a double pin finish, which is very awkward looking, and it looks like a botch, but it's not, because you had this big tangle up into a win. Matt Cardona's confused face afterwards really told the tale.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate that. I think it really saved it. What do you think of the match? And then we're going to talk about the best part.
I'm going to say Brian Myers was wrestling super heel tonight. Anytime he had a chance to be a piece of crap, he was doing it. And I got to commend you. You've been hanging out with Matt Cardona for far too long. That was really nice. Sorry. The match itself was really good. They really beat the crap out of Ace Austin at one point. Like Myers and Cardona into the Bay Hot tag. I think what you said is true. It's a very standard veteran versus newbie match. And I think it gave the Aces of Bays the momentum they need to go up against Motor City Machine Guns or continue their winning streak to make a case to say, hey, we deserve to be the champions for their eventual takeover. In my mind, I'm manifesting this.
I'm all about it. I will join you in that manifestation. Ace of Bays moving up, getting that tag team title shot. Let's do it one-on-one or two-on-two in this case. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. Post-match. Nobody had to say his name because he appeared. I believe in Joe Hendry. Hendry says that he accepts Matt Cardona's challenge for the Digital Media Championship. Says the original content creator and internet champion is Matt Cardona. But lately he's been green with envy. That's a double shot, by the way, for those who don't know. Chelsea Green is Matt Cardona's wife. Green with Envy was the name of her podcast for a time. And he says, people around the world are talking about Dancing Moose. Cardona must feel left out, and I don't want anyone to feel left out. That's the last thing I want. And he says, I'm going to debut a new song tonight. And Crest the Star, does he ever debut a new song tonight?
I spent 20 minutes laughing after this with tears in my eyes.
He called him Edge's bitch.
I don't even know the whole story of why he's Edge's bitch, but the song was catchy. And I was singing like the crowd in Tom Hannafin.
Hold on. Hold your horses. Hold on. You don't remember that. I'm calling, first of all, I call shenanigans. I call bullshit because you know how you know? Because I spent weeks telling you about the Major Brothers.
But I thought you were memeing with the Major Brothers when you meant like it was these two guys, but you meant like Super Mario. Oh, I'm getting exposed in 4K.
Myers and Cardona were Edge's stable mates. They were the mini Edges. Myers and Cardona.
Okay. Before you roast me,
you weren't watching. I know.
I started watching in 2018, and then I stopped when Stone Cold broke his neck, and this guy was drinking milk. Okay,
you were the Edgeheads.
That's even more funny. I just thought like there had to be some sort of Edge's connection, but.
Did you think we were talking about Edge, like from U2?
No. I know. Girl. I know they meant like Edge on this day, Edge, but I didn't know what the exact connection was. At that point, he should have just called him Zack Ryder.
Okay. I'm sure on Saturday, when they have their big reunion, everything will be fine. Not Myers, but the other guy. By the way, Joe Hendry with a spot on Matt Cardona impression in that song.
Oh my God.
I'm talking about the voice. I mean, the rest of it.
I thought you were talking about the.
There's that too. The face was also, yeah, perfect. The premise of the song, before you go find it on Spotify and all your major streaming platforms, is Cardona won't have sex with his wife because he wants to play with his toys. So instead, Joe Hendry insinuates that he had sex with Chelsea Green. Did he wear the title?
I could see him wearing the title. I wish I could have, but I could see him wearing the title. Or at least putting it on the nice set and saying, there. Or turning it around. You don't want to see what daddy's about to do.
Once again, if you're listening to us in audio form, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's wrestling, man. There's a dinosaur and an undead guy. Come on now.
A literal dinosaur. Let's move on. Jonathan Gresham takes on Sheldon Jean. This match was quick, but this match tells me that Sheldon Jean has a future. I really enjoyed what he brought to the table. He's all style. Gresham goes for substance, as he does. Jean's deceptively big. Not that Jonathan Gresham is a big man himself, but Sheldon Jean was the right guy for the task. Lots of potential there. Gresham hyperextends Jean's knee and then knocks him in the back of the neck for the pinfall. What do you think of the match? Really simple stuff gets Gresham back in the win column.
I literally wrote the shrugging emoji. Not that it was a bad match, but it's like, I knew Jonathan Gresham was going to make this man look like a pretzel by the end of the match. Like, solid stuff. Nothing wrong with it, but yeah, that's my response.
That's it. Easy peasy. You were still trying to figure out who was Edge's bitch.
I feel like you're exposing the business right now.
Well, follow up on that, by the way, is that the major players approach Moose and they're like, we'll take care of Joe Hendry for you. And Moose is like, good.
Listen, y'all don't gotta jump Joe Hendry because he's funny. He's funny. That's a funny guy. And not only is he funny, he's a funny guy in a song. That's even worse. That's true. Worse. If you're funny with the tune, bro. Dancing Moose was funny. Edge's bitch is funny. And it's y'all gonna have to come with some heat. Y'all gotta come with some heat, or you really gotta jump him.
Macarena's gotta bring back true Long Island Z ice, whatever the hell.
The thing with the hair, with the thing.
Dude, the show he used to do. I can never say the show name properly because it was so many weird words, and I think of Long Island Iced Tea. True Long Island Iced Z. That was the true. Yeah, that's the one. Anyway, he's gonna have to bring that back for a week just to get his heat back on Joe Hendry, or he's just gonna beat the shit out of Joe Hendry. Either way,
he needs to get a memer to help him because that's Joe true. Hendry's a memer.
Ain't gonna be Chelsea Green next week on the show. It's Ace of Face taking on Kevin Knight and Kushida, and Giselle Shaw taking on Savannah Evans, as we mentioned earlier in the show. So there's more that will be announced, I'm sure. But for now, I'm always happy that Impact has at least one thing to announce going into the following week. As they should, considering the show has already been taped. Let's move on. The main event is the six-shooter golden gun supernatural lots of words elimination match. Winner faces Josh Alexander at No Surrender. Rich Swann inevitably gets the win. A little bit unexpected, but a lot of really fun storytelling this match. A lot of good stuff. Everyone looked pretty good, I gotta say, except for Rhino. But Rhino's got stuff going on. He's fine, right? Right?
I complimented Rhino's legs. He's shaped like a brick. This man is strong. Like he's sturdy.
Yeah.
He's sturdy.
Yeah, he's a block.
Stout.
Yeah, yeah. You think he has to do custom suits the whole way through?
In my mind, where Rhino goes, he wears a singlet.
Them legs are so thick. Like, how do you fit? Does he wear pants?
You think he can crush watermelons with
him? Probably. You think him and Jordan Grace have a watermelon crushing competition?
I feel like we are entering some person's like, yeah, keep going, Joel Preston. Yeah, what else can they crush? Yeah.
Awful. Oh, God. Okay. The match. Let's just talk about the match. First of all, so Sami Callihan eliminates Rhino after Rhino goes for the gore. Moose intercepts with a spear of his own before Callihan kicks Moose and steals the pin, which is fine. Sami Callihan is still wearing his Death Machine gear, which was a little weird to me, but I guess because like he's a design trainee, he doesn't have to get new gear yet. And
shouldn't he be wearing the yellow hoodie though?
I guess, but it's hot under that thing.
True.
You ever try to wrestle in a hoodie? It's not.
You ever tried to wrestle?
Anyway, Edwards goes on a tear until PCO shows up. And he tries to get at Edward Edwards. Security and the referees, they stop PCO. They keep him at bay at the ramp. Meanwhile, Chris Sabin hits a tornado DDT and eliminates Edward Edwards. Moose comes into the ring, kicks Sabin in the face, and then suddenly PCO and the refs have disappeared completely.
Bro, it was the Thanos snap, because one moment here and this moment, everyone is gone. There's no way. Ain't no way.
And they just had to clear everyone out, just like, there we go. Like
someone farted really bad, like, oh, I gotta go, I gotta leave.
Oh god, it was so strange. All of a sudden it was just like, hey, I had to rewind it. I was just like, did I miss something?
I don't know, man. Like the music hit, he got the pin, and it's like, all right, everyone wrap it up, turn around, like, what the hell.
I'm surprised he didn't have more sand in his lungs to spit out. Sabin and Moose are having a great exchange afterwards. Sabin goes for the tornado DDT. Moose sidesteps it, hits a spear of his own, and pins Sabin. Sabin's out of the match. It's now down to three: Moose, Rich Swann, and Sami Callihan. It's fun stuff. The three of them are going ham. Moose and Swann face off. Moose goes after Swan's knee until Rich Swann rolls him up and eliminates Moose. And then the design show up, and they go over to Sami Callihan. They tell him, "Hey, finish Swann," and then they call it the last step. First of all, Cressa, I thought this was a 7-step process. We outlined that this was a process that goes through till No Surrender, given the 7 steps and the timing. All of a sudden, they're like, this is the last step. And then Tom Hannifin is like, this is it. This is the last step in the initiation of Sami Callihan into the design. And I'm like, what happened to the other steps? We had several steps to go.
You know what it was? We can't count. When they said seven steps, they meant seven steps like Steiner math. So it was a 33 1/3% chance of the seven. So if you carry the one and then add the two to the three, you get three steps. And this is the final step.
I hate it here. So much. Did you see? Oh my God. Did you see the M&M's thing with the M&M's Super Bowl ad?
Because they said that they're going to make Maya Rudolph because people are upset about some candy.
Yes. Did you see? I don't know who it was, and someone I'm sure saw this already. Someone took it and they redid the meme, the M&M's thing, but they did it with Steiner math promo.
You see, they say all M&M's are created equal, but you look at the red M&M and the yellow M&M, and you can see that this statement is not true. What is filled with peanut? This one got nougat.
Well, they took the exact promo, and they just superimposed it over the M&M's gimmick.
That's kind of funny. Top 10 promos of all time. Top 5 even. I fight your mom about it. Top 5 of all time.
I'll fight moms about it. It's fine with me. Let me see if I can find it. Can I find it in like the next 2 seconds while I talk to myself? I don't think so. But either way, it was funny. If you find it, just send it to me on the Twitter at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl, would you? I can find it, whatever. It's fine. Anyway, we're talking about the show. We're talking about the show. We're back to the show. It's Diener and Swan. They're the last two. The seven-step process is apparently not. So Sami goes for a power bomb on Rich Swan after some trepidation, after they're saying, you know, finish him, go in, finish Rich Swan. And Swan eventually kicks Callihan down, goes for the 450, hits the splash, gets the win. Rich Swan is number one contender for the Impact World Championship at No Surrender. That match is official. Post-match, Rich Swan tries to tell Callihan not to join the design. He's trying to play good guy. And then the Diener and the design take out Rich Swan. After Swan puts his hand on Diener, which is part of what made them all go nuts. Outcomes, or Sami Callihan is about to hit Cactus Driver 98 when Yuya Uemura shows up to avenge Delirious. He gets stomped out. Josh Alexander, Frankie Kazarian come out. They make the save. They even out the odds. And then Impact goes off the air with the face in the ring, standing tall. Cresta Star, talk to me, please.
You called Delirious Joe Lirious, and now I can never unhear that. Joe Hendry and Delirious had a baby, and that child's name is Joe Lirious. The match I thought was very even, and I think it really picked up once it was Moose, Swan, and Callihan in the ring. I thought for sure when it was, I thought Callihan was either going to get knocked out first or really early and be in trouble with the design, or if he stayed later on the match, that he would win. Swan getting the win was unexpected. I don't hate it. I really like Rich Swan. I also like the fact that commentary put over the time when Moose found the TNA championship in the garbage. It was like, I'm champion. And Rich Swan's like, what are you talking about? Like, no one recognizes that champion anymore. This is Impact now. Like, relax. I really thought that was a nice touch to remind viewers of, like, this is what they've all gone through. They're all somehow intertwined and connected. And they also put over the former friendship, Sami Callihan with Rich Swan. I mean, I get why you brought up the Moose and Swan thing, but the Callihan and Swan thing, you kind of have to gloss over the fact that after that happened, Sami Callihan tried to kill Rich Swan. You kind of got to gloss over that. Like, yeah, they were friends. Yeah, then Sami Callihan went buck wild on this guy. Like, what? So, I mean, I guess Sami Callihan does have a lot of internal conflict. I do like this character development, but also I'm going to be a Sami Callihan sympathizer here for a minute. Diener, you failed mad times before you got it right. Eric Young failed mad times right at the end. Hell, Angels has even failed once or twice. So if you guys are going to go out of your way to say that failure is not an option, clearly failure is. So I wonder what's going to happen now, because we always say when it comes to design or violent by design, failure is not tolerated, and it gets violent afterwards. I wonder if they're going to beat up Sami Callihan. Is he going to show up for initiation night next week? You know what I mean? I'm interested to see how this goes, not so much for the in-ring aspect, but because I like the psychological drama of this situation. I want to see if Sami Callihan is actually going to do it, because I think what he thought was going to happen and what's actually happening are two different things, and he doesn't like it.
There
oh my God.
America, let's talk. You know, they say that all men are created equal. No, we're not doing this. Shout out to Mayday, by the way, on Twitter. He's the one who did
it. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33% chance of winning. But I have a 66% chance of winning, because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So Samoa Joe, you take your 33% chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3% chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we was to go one-on-one, and then you add the 66%, and dude, I can't, my chest.
Well, you were so close. You were doing such a good job.
Okay. If we was to go 101 and then you add 66 2/3%, I got a 141 2/3% chance of winning at Sacrifice. You see, Joe, the numbers don't lie. And they spelled it was it's Senior Joe. The numbers don't lie. And they spelled disaster for you at Sacrifice.
Big round of applause for Crescent Star. By the way, you gotta one thing about your performance, you gotta call it Sacrifice, because that's how Steiner does it.
I really wish in this moment I had some eyeliner just to give myself the soul patch.
You can do it. That's next week.
Next week I'm coming in as Big Papa.
That's it.
All right. Next week, here on Fightful Post Impact Show, Crescent Star is coming in as Big Papa Pump. If anybody laughs at me, I'm calling the police.
And yeah, so Sami Callihan did have a feud with Rich Swann a few years ago, back with OVE and all that stuff. And I see that in the chat. Thank you for pointing it out. What bugs me most is that Steve Maclin and Rich Swann had a match that Steve Maclin won, and Rich Swann just turned around and won the damn number one contendership match. I don't like that part.
That's a fair point.
That felt like it was, oh, we have a special coming up in a month. That doesn't really mean much. So Rich Swann, everybody, it's another former Impact champion that Josh Alexander can beat. It felt weird to me having Rich Swann win. That's not a slight at Rich Swann. It's just, it's not good storytelling for me, at least.
I took it as, yay, Rich Swann won. No, Macklin's going to beat him up again to prove a point. Like, yeah. I already beat him, and the guy that I beat is now ain't no way. So since I'm a joke, let's get funny. You know, I think he's going to beat up Rich Swann again. That's what I was really thinking. Like, he's really, now he's going to injure this man for real, injure him. You know what I mean? So he's like, well, until I get my title shot, this is what we're doing. We'll see. Maybe not. I could be wrong.
Dobby the Brain Hina with a super chat saying Josh versus Rich Swann is going to be a banger, but we all know Maclin is looming. Feels like this has to be the main event of Rebellion in Toronto. Yes. Mm-hmm. Josh Alexander versus Steve Maclin, to me, is the match to do in Toronto. There's one problem with that. If Steve Maclin wins that match in Josh Alexander's hometown, is that good? Is that heat? Is that... Because do you send the crowd home happy another way? Like, what? It's got to happen. And it feels like Steve Macklin's the guy to beat Josh Alexander at this point. Can you do it on Josh's hometown, on home turf?
I've seen many a promotion do worse on people's home turf. I think his reign is historic enough. Josh Alexander's resume, like Ray Walt said tonight, it's called a resume. It speaks for itself. His resume speaks for itself. He's very decorated, but that'll definitely get all types of I hate you Maclin heat on him. And it'd be spicy. But again, I've also seen people die on Impact. So what's losing in your hometown?
I love someone in the chat saying the Canadians will riot. A Canadian riot, and I can speak to this, is us being like, no, thank you.
I was going to say, like, do Canadians get mad? I can see, I'm like,
what we do.
He lost, but I don't like this.
Also, the venue that they are recording or that they're doing the show in, it's called Rebel Nightclub. Not great for throwing things in the ring. So
not the NWO.
So it's like you can do like three or four rows of seating, like just seating like traditional floor seats. Mm-hmm. And then behind that, I encourage everyone to go and watch not old, but Impact shows in Toronto from the last few years, especially like Rebellion 2019. That was that was at the same venue. Behind them are the VIP booths. And like, you ever been to a club, VIP booths are just kind of like, there's a stripper pole, and then there's like a whole bunch of couches that are like in an S shape or something. That's what's at Revel. And I've sat on those couches to watch a wrestling show. In fact, I watched, it may have been Rebellion 2019. And let me tell you a story, okay?
I'm listening. I'm engaged.
I went on my own to whatever show that was. I think it was Rebellion 2019. When they brought out Michael fucking Elgin.
Oh, that's a name I haven't heard for 9,000 years.
You don't need to hear it, okay? You don't need to hear it. And I'm the guy who gets up, and this is a big open space with a lot of space to walk around where I'm sitting. It's considered general admission, which is great for those of you who are trying to save a buck but sit close. Anyway, I digress. They bring out Michael Elgin, and I swear to God, I'm the only person in that venue who is like booing loudly. And I'm like walking. I was like, oh, this guy, I hate this shit. Get him. Like, this is go away heat on go away heat for me. And I'm just like, this is garbage. Michael Elgin didn't last for long in Impact, thankfully. Anyway, the point being, come to Rebel Night Club in April. I'll be there. Sean Ross Sapp will be there because I clued him in that the event's happening. And he's like, oh, any excuse to come to Toronto? I'll take it.
Unfortunately, how much you think it is for a seat on top of the stripper pole? That's all I heard.
Cameras there now.
What?
They set up cameras there, like they're side view cameras.
Come on. How are you going to have a stripper pole at a wrestling event and not offer a pole on a pole seat?
What I'm really hoping they do for this event, and I hope they bring this back, is they used to have seating on the stage so that the wrestlers come out behind you and like you're on the stage. This was an old Impact trope as well, mm-hmm. for like before the pandemic. This was really cool. And I was at an Impact TV taping where I did sit up on the stage. And it was a lot of fun. There was actually RVD came back. So I got to see RVD versus Ethan Page was a match I got to see.
The North?
Yeah, that's just when the North was still a team. So I got to see them all interact at a taping in Toronto. But long story short, they would put fans seating up on the entrance ramp. And that was really cool. And I hope that they bring that back for this show because there was a really neat aesthetic that made the room look a lot more full. Because shooting onto the stage straight on it's not great if it's empty. We see it week after week here.
Yeah, you don't want to see an empty stage or an empty spot. Like, it's an eyesore. You see it on camera, it's like, woof.
Yeah.
To spread out those seats or something. I don't know.
Well, that was Impact Wrestling plus a whole lot more for y'all this week. Cresta Starr, let's plug the stuff and get on out of here.
My name is Cresta Starr. You can find me on the internet anywhere you can type Cresta Starr, CrestaStarr, except for Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star, the Elon Muskrat got me gal. I am live every Monday and Wednesday on twitch.tv, where I go over Raw and AEW Dynamite, each respectively on each day. Saturday, I cover video games in the weird space of gaming gone weird. We got a new co-host. I can't wait, guys, to see you there so you can welcome them. And every Thursday, I'm here with my co-host with the mo-host, Joel Pearl. We talk about all stuff Impact. Joel, where can they find you?
Not hard to find. I'm at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. I also am a lot of times over on Fightful Overbooked. Go find us, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. I really want you all to come and join us there, especially for our Royal Rumble watch along. It will be there. We hope you'll be there. Come and join us. Till then, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
There are a lot of inconsistencies when growing soybeans. The soil, the weather, the market. You need something you can count on, like Revitech fungicide from BASF. It consistently out-yields other fungicides by up to 9.5 bushels per acre, consistently wins in on-farm head-to-head comparisons, and consistently makes for happy farmers. Revitech fungicide. Visit RevXFields.com for full results. Always read and follow label directions. Yield data based on summary of 2019 through 2022 RevX field scale demonstration trials.